That's what I encourage kids is to listen to their body. So if you're hungry, eat, but then listen to your body. And when you're getting full and satisfied, stop. Kids, it really varies. They may go one day where it seems like they haven't eaten anything, maybe even a couple days, and then they'll have a couple days where it seems like they just can't get enough. So the appetite ebbs and flows, and just encourage them to listen to their body.
Life is complicated, but getting healthy doesn't have to be. Welcome to Enlow Medical Center's podcast, Health Matters. I'm your host, Daniela Contreras. Listen to experts and everyday people share real stories and resources to improve our health and well-being. The new school year recently began, and that means many parents are wondering about the best foods to sustain their children throughout the day. Eating healthy meals during our development years is key for proper growth, preventing health conditions, and having a successful school year. But how do you know what foods to give your children and in what amount? Hi everyone, I'm Daniela Contreras. I'm here with Buck August, a registered dietitian and diabetes specialist at Enlow Medical Center, to talk about tips to improve healthy eating habits so parents can make informed choices. So thank you so much for being here today, Buck.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's start with this. We've all heard the saying that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Is that true?
Yes and no. It's a great way to start the day. A lot of people like to eat breakfast in the morning. I personally am a little biased because I'm a big breakfast eater. Mm-hmm. Some people, though, don't care for breakfast, and it can be okay to skip it sometimes.
What are some healthy options for those who do want to eat breakfast?
Quick and easy, like a piece of whole grain toast with nut butter. Some people might do a cereal, like a low-sugar cereal, like Cheerios or oatmeal, something along those lines. If you have a little bit more time, you could have some eggs, or now they have like those little egg bites that you can just heat up. There's a lot of good options.
And there's any foods that people should avoid specifically for breakfast?
There are some foods that I would count more as sometimes foods for breakfast, things you won't want to have every day. So I'm thinking things like donuts, Pop-Tarts, pancakes with a bunch of syrup. Those are more of like a treat.
Like spare every now and then.
Yes.
And then what about kids who sometimes refuse to have breakfast? Should we force those kids to have breakfast the same time every day, or like just let them eat when they're hungry?
Yeah, there's a thing called the roles of feeding, and that's kind of like what I like to think about. So as parents or caregivers, we're responsible for the when, what, and where we're going to eat. Uh-huh. So we're going to have breakfast at, we'll say 7 or 7:30. Well, I'm responsible for what food's going to be on the table, and then the where would be the table or wherever that happens to be. Uh-huh. The kids are responsible for the if they're going to eat and then how much they're going to eat. So if, say, one morning your kid's not hungry and they say, I just, you know, don't feel like eating this morning, you know, you can let them go without breakfast. They're going to get hungry eventually and they're going to eat eventually.
That's true. So it's okay to let them just decide for themselves.
Yeah, to a point. Sometimes there's some other tricky dynamics that come in there where kids start skipping breakfast and they don't want to eat at school, and that can be kind of a slippery slope. But generally speaking, yeah, just have good options available, things that they like. And if they don't want to eat once in a while, that could be okay.
Let's talk about portion sizes. How can parents know if what they're serving their kids is too much, too little, enough?
For sure. If you want a reference, you can go to choosemyplate.gov. You can enter in like the kid's age, their height, and some different things, their activity, and it'll actually spell out like how much of each different food group. Generally speaking, though, we're looking for like over the course of the day, a cup or two of fruit, maybe a cup, two, maybe three cups of vegetables. Mm-hmm. With grains, it could be 3 to 8 servings, depending on the kid and how many calories they need. 2 to 6 ounces of proteins, and then maybe 2 or 3 servings of a dairy or a dairy alternative.
But if your kid ends up being hungry and asking you more than what that serving suggests, would you recommend? Like I said, it just depends on each child.
Yeah, absolutely. And just let them eat until they're full. And that's what I encourage kids is to listen to their body. So if you're hungry, eat. Mm-hmm. But then listen to your body. And when you're getting full and satisfied, stop. Kids, it really varies. They may go one day where it seems like they haven't eaten anything, maybe even a couple days, and then they'll have a couple days where it seems like they just can't get enough. So the appetite ebbs and flows, and just encourage them to listen to their body.
Well, that sounds really like intuitive and smart. Mm-hmm. What about the parents who send their children with packed lunches? What should these lunches include?
Yeah, I brought a couple examples that I thought would be helpful. Mm-hmm. So these are fun little boxes. Here we have, these are like a whole grain type of cracker. These ones are actually gluten-free. They're made from brown rice and oats. Mm-hmm. There's like a cheese stick. This is some almond butter. And then in the other half, we have a little bit of produce. So we have some celery and oranges. So lots and lots of produce, some protein, some dairy. And then in this one, went a little bit different direction. And we have blueberries, carrots, and celery. And there's a sandwich that happens to be a sandwich that has some turkey and cheese, but it could be an almond butter sandwich or something like that.
Whatever the children feels more inclined.
Yeah, for sure.
And is there something that we should avoid putting in those packed lunches?
Well, there's those sometimes foods, so kind of like the donuts and Pop-Tarts. There's things that, you know, it's fine to have sometimes. Fruit snacks, cookies, candy, things like that. A little bit here and there, but we don't necessarily need a whole lot every day.
Yeah, so not definitely every single day for those.
Yeah.
And then how many calories should children consume?
That really varies. So again, you could go on to choosemyplate.gov and enter in the kids' information. We'll give a calorie goal. I typically don't encourage people to do that, though. Uh-huh. Just like we were talking about before, I encourage, you know, encourage the kids to listen to their body for how much they need to eat. Tracking calories usually isn't necessary.
Oh, that's great. That's a good thing, because a lot of adults count calories for themselves, but that doesn't mean that they should do for their children.
Right.
And then, can you tell us what are empty calories?
So sometimes foods that have a lot of added sugar, maybe really highly processed foods, maybe added fats and things like that could be considered empty. So you could think of like chips or candy or things along those lines. They technically maybe have a little bit of nutrition, just not a lot of nutrition. So that's why they call them empty sometimes.
Right. Is there some foods that people should avoid at all times, whether they're adults or children?
Not really. Well, I should say it depends on who you ask, because some people will tell you there's things you should never eat, but I take a different view on it. I think all things in moderation. So it's kind of like the foods that maybe you would call empty calories or that I call sometimes foods. Having it sometimes is fine. We just don't base our whole diet around those things.
That sounds way more approachable way to see food than like just restricting yourself and not eating a particular thing.
Yeah.
And is there something that parents can do to maybe encourage kids that might be picky eaters?
For sure. A couple of really good things are to get the kids as involved as possible. So if you could have a garden at home or even just like a one pot that you could grow, you know, a veggie or whatever in, if the kids see that process, see the thing grow, they're going to be more likely to want to try it. You can go to the farmer's markets or go to the grocery store, encourage the kids to pick something out. So pick out something in the produce section or another food. When they pick it out, they're going to be much more likely to want to try it.
Mm-hmm.
The other huge thing is that sometimes it just takes time and time again. They say it could take like 10 to 20 times of a kid being around a food to, you know, become comfortable and to want to try that food. So just be persistent. Right. Just keep trying. Keep having it there. And then the other really big thing is what we do. Because if I eat a variety of food and then, you know, my kids see me do that, then they're more likely to want to eat a variety of foods too.
So is that a good way to like introduce new elements to their diets as well?
Yep. Yeah. So just have it there, have it on the table, maybe put a little bit on their plate. They don't make them eat it, but then they're seeing you eat it. Maybe they're going to want to try it.
That's great. So you definitely do not encourage parents to force their children to sit down until they finish their meals.
Absolutely not. No, it can create like a bad relationship with food. Mm-hmm. Again, we want to encourage kids to listen to their body. So if they want to eat something, eat it, stop when they're satisfied. And if we're forcing kids to eat, it's like detaching them from listening to their body. And then it can create a bad dynamic in there. We don't want that.
That's a great advice. Is there anything else that you would like to add that I didn't ask you?
Eating is great. It's a big pleasure in life. Kids, you know, love to eat different foods. Again, go out there, go to the farmer's market, try some new things, include a variety of colors of fruits and vegetables, and get the kids involved. Have them help to prepare things. They're going to be a lot more likely to want to try new things.
Plus, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Buck.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
And thank you all for tuning in. If you'd like to listen to more Health Matters conversations, visit www.enlo.org/podcast. See you next time on Health Matters. If you have a story you would like to share, let us know. Email us at healthmatters@enlo.org. Let us know your thoughts about our podcast and what you want us to explore. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to Health Matters. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, give us a thumbs up, or share it with someone who might benefit from the information. Health Matters is a production of Enlo Medical Center.